Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to the Cancer Survivor Show, brought to you by the Chemo Girls.
Hey, Sharon, how's it going today?
It's going great, Lucy. How are you doing?
Good, good. I'm excited to be back with everyone today.
Yeah, we've had a little hiatus, and we're ready to get back with you guys.
That's right.
So today's topic, I'm kind of excited about. It is all about journaling. It might sound like a dud, but it's really not. Lucy, do you journal?
I love to journal. You know, whenever I have spent a lot of time with pen and paper, seems like things that you're feeling inside get expressed a lot more than if you're just thinking about them or trying to tell somebody else about them. To me, my pen starts going and all of a sudden I'm looking down and I say, where'd that come from?
Yeah, I was thinking, sometimes I surprise myself.
I know. And then, you know, just to go back and read some things that have gone on in life at certain points later on, I think it's a great, great tool.
Well, and you know, I didn't even start journaling until in my 40s, and I would never have considered it and had no idea how transforming it could be, but it's powerful.
So I'm excited today to be talking about the power of the pen.
Sure, the power of the pen. So why, you may ask, are we even talking about journaling when we are here to meet the needs and answer the questions and really minister to people who have a new cancer diagnosis whacking on their lives? And the reason for that is it's really a multi-purpose, the journal. The first thing that I'd like to say is when you are going through this process, whether you are the patient or the person surrounding the patient, your life has been turned upside down.
It has.
And there are things screaming out from inside of you that you would not share with your closest friend because
That's right.
They are your closest friend. You wouldn't share with your mother, your father, your children, your husband, because quite honestly, these emotions and thoughts and fears can be rather raw and scary, and we tend to want to protect the people around us. We don't want to freak them out. So,
and we kind of protect ourselves as well, because sometimes you have these feelings like, if I say that, they're going to think I am Looney Tunes.
Sure, exactly. You don't, it's like, I want to come off strong, but I am scared to death.
That's right.
You know, so with the journal, what you need to realize is that journal can definitely function as your confidant.
That's right. Best friend.
A confidant with no tongue.
You can't talk back.
That's right. So you can lay down on the page everything, just purge and work through things like you would sitting on a couch with your best friend.
That's right.
Possibly on another topic. You can work it out with yourself and you will find that you surprise yourself. You will find that you learn things about yourself that you never knew.
That's right.
Seems strange, but it's true. And if, I will say this, if what you want to share is too much to even be kept in a journal, one other idea that I've used once or twice in my life is called thoughts on paper. I just call it TOPS. And I write it on a empty sheet of paper and I take it outside and I burn it. And that is something that you can do with really intense emotions, thoughts, or feelings.
That is an awesome idea.
Because then it's out, you've worked through it, and nobody's ever going to look at that.
That's right.
So there are some other things that you can do with the journal. Not just the emotional stuff and chronicling your life and your ups and downs, your relationship issues, but medical.
Well, when you're going through treatment for cancer, there is so many things that are important for you to recognize, remember, and also share with your doctor.
Right.
Or the nurse practitioner that is looking over your case.
With pretty accurate recall.
Yeah.
Which we already know can be difficult.
So if any of you guys out there have not gotten to that point of your treatment yet, or your loved one has not gotten to that point of treatment yet, there's going to be information that your doctor or nurse wants to know on a very continuous basis. Like, what is your weight gain? What is your weight loss? Are you eating well? How's your appetite? How's your fatigue level?
Yeah, and how long did it last after the treatment?
Exactly.
When did you hit your good day?
Yes. And if you don't write it down that particular day, you have no idea. Mm-hmm. You can't remember, you know, what happened an hour ago sometimes, much less a week ago.
Sure, when that chemo fog lifts, it's kind of gray when you look back on it.
Yeah, a little. You know, that's why we incorporated really detailed record keeping in My Chemo Cocktail and Me, in our management system, was to have that source of real organized data keeping.
Right. And we tried to keep it on the page with your regular journal, things like, you know, how your weight is, what your fatigue level's like, and that sort of thing. You can keep record of that on your own.
Yeah, you don't have to have the book to do that, but we just made it kind of easy. But just remember that those are the kind of things that your doctor's going to want to hear and know about so that they can more adequately give you direction on increasing, decreasing medications.
How long to give the medication.
The foods to avoid and all that kind of thing.
Sure. And they may need to change some medication, tweak your treatment in some way. So be sure, however you record your information, take it with you to your next doctor's appointment.
That's right.
Keep it with you.
And, you know, another thing I think that people forget about sometimes is odd symptoms.
Yeah.
Things that aren't in the textbooks.
Sure, it's fine print that they don't typically tell you about because they're afraid either they'll scare you for no reason because they're rare.
Yeah.
Or that it will have sort of a psychological effect on you and you'll pick up on a symptom you wouldn't otherwise have had.
You had one of those little
incidences. I really did.
Tell us about it.
Scary. And guys, this is not something that happens with everyone, but let me just tell you, I'm one of those people, they should just go ahead and read all the fine print to me because my body just did the weird stuff that not everybody does. So I say that to say this probably won't happen to you, but there is a monster known as steroid-induced psychosis.
Ooh, that sounds scary.
It was ominous, I'm telling you. I went through my first treatment, and apparently my body does not purge chemo quite as quickly as other people's. And so I received all of my side effect medications for 3 days, and on the fourth day, all heck broke loose. So on the second treatment, they extended how long they gave me nausea medications and steroids. Steroids do help control some nausea and such. So, because my body does not purge things, the steroids built up in my body, and I ended up having a depression that could not be explained by anything that was of Sharon. It was not a perspective that I had ever had. It was quite scary. The only thing I can say is it was really like a black cloud. And so I thought I had a tumor in my head.
Yeah.
Honestly, I did, because I just had the craziest reaction in my mind. So I went to my doctor and started telling him what was happening, and he kind of chuckled. And he said,
not funny, really.
Yeah, it wasn't funny to me at all. It wasn't funny to anyone around me. I couldn't be left alone. And the man chuckles. So he said, sweetie, there's nothing really wrong with you. This is steroid-induced psychosis, and all we need to do is take you off your steroids, and tomorrow you're going to be fine.
Wow.
Just keep someone with you. I was like, so you knew about this? He goes, yeah, I had a patient burn our house down.
Oh, my goodness.
Anyway, so.
I guess that's where the chuckle comes
from. Yeah, that was his chuckle. That was his little laugh. So, you know, that was just one of many really wacky symptoms and side effects. And because we knew how long I'd been on the medication and the reaction I had had before and the new reaction, it was easily put together what was wrong with me and how to quickly adjust my medications and remedy the problems.
So the moral of that story is,
Write it down. Yeah. Write it down. You're going to hear us say that a blue million times.
Don't think that there's any wrong questions or wrong statements to make to your doctor.
No, there aren't. And if you're afraid to ask him, ask us.
Yeah,
ask us. Ask a nurse. And don't ask us anything that you need to know right now and today, but we certainly will see who we can find to sort of answer those odd questions.
That's right. And remember, we've told you guys this before, but we are open ears and we want to help you. Mm-hmm. Write us, Sharon at mychemococktailandme.com or Lucy at mychemococktailandme.com. You can also write a comment or ask a question on our podcast page.
Yeah, we have upcoming topics and would love to hear your experiences or what you want to know about those topics. And just a quick jumping back to that whole discussion about the doctor, I want to be clear. We are not doctors. We are not nurses.
That's right.
We are not your first line of defense. You need to really be an open book with your doctors and nurses to get your best, most effective health care.
That's right.
Okay, so another little thing that you can do with your book, it will prove very helpful for you during the process of going through chemotherapy and treatment in general. But when you have your anniversary, you can go back to your book and look back and reminisce, and you will find that you really connect with yourself.
Yeah.
In an odd way, looking back over your book and remembering where you were and how far you've come.
Yeah.
And all the changes that have happened in that one short year. I really believe every anniversary you should flip through whatever you wrote that year.
Yeah, I agree with you. It just keeps the perspective on life the right place.
Absolutely.
So it makes us look at life with more precious eyes too, wouldn't you think?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you don't want to lose that perspective.
Yeah. And you know, another great tool a journal can be is to go back and look and remember those little things that, you know, there's a lot about chemo you don't want to remember.
Sure.
You want to put it in the past. But whenever you're mentoring someone that's just been diagnosed, we call them a newbie. You know, you would, oh, I need to tell them about that. Or I need to tell them about this. And sometimes that going back and refreshing your memory just for a little bit.
Yes.
You know, it's very important so that you have that information in your forebrain, you know, to be able to tell them.
You can be your most effective mentor. You can even share passages with them to show them how not alone they are.
Yeah. I like that. You are not alone. That is what we're all about, guys.
That's right.
We are here to let you know that you are not alone in your diagnosis. It is amazing to me the number of women that we talk to who have just been diagnosed, and they feel like they are on planet Earth alone with their diagnosis.
Oh, sure.
And it just...
And the people around them feel the same way. It's odd how isolating a diagnosis can be. You know, if someone in my family were diagnosed, I would feel alone too. And so, you know, all of these things, journaling, so effective for in the environment surrounding that.
Absolutely. Yes.
As well.
Yes.
So
that's why we do what we do.
That's why we do what we do. Guys, this, I believe, is a wrap on journaling.
I just have one little added statement, you know, about a journal, you know, and it being your best friend and all that. It's kind of like that saying, you know, that people say, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
And what we say is, what goes on the page stays on the page.
Love it.
Yeah.
Even lock it up somewhere if you don't really want anybody to get a hold of it. That's I remember being a little girl and having a diary. Remember that?
Oh, sure.
And had a little key and you could lock it up. So those thoughts that you put on there were your thoughts, your emotions, and things that you just didn't want anybody else to see.
Sure. And what you may learn over time is, they may feel very, very private your entire life, or there may be a day when they are not anymore and they're something so useful for you or someone else.
Ready to share it.
Yeah. Yeah. It may change over time.
So I think that's time for
the not just surviving,
but thriving
tidbit of the day.
How about it, Sharon? You got a great tidbit?
I think that I do.
Go ahead.
You know, you were just talking about not forgetting the perspective. And so one of my sons, my middle child, has asthma, and he has had a really terrible season, which has been unusual. Mm. And we have been on medication after medication and breathing treatment, and he has essentially been indoors for a good 3 weeks. Well, the boy had his 8th birthday during that time, and so as you can imagine, a boy that loves to go to the barn and ride horses and such, it's really hard to look at the outdoors through a plate glass window, you know? Mm-hmm. And so that has been such a reminder to me to appreciate, once again, going outside, taking my shoes off and putting my feet in the grass and looking at the clouds and just appreciating creation and the simplicity of being able to go outside and feel the sun on your face.
Wow. You don't know what you've lost until it's not there.
Exactly right. Yeah. And I, you know, I hate the time that he's had over the past 3 weeks. If I could have changed it from the first day, obviously as a mother, I would do that. But in all hard things, there's always something to take away. And I choose to do that.
That's
and
right.
So that's what I want to take away
from
that.
That's right. Great. I love that tidbit of the day.
Thank you, Lucy.
So everybody, until later, we are signing off. This is Sharon and Lucy, the Chemo Girls, and we just are sending our love and our blessings out to each and every one of you today. Look forward to having you back with us for our next show. And until then,
bye.
Bye-bye.